This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders. This film has been described by AudioVision Canada. Lionsgate Films, a Lionsgate Entertainment Company. Cinerenta. A young man lies sprawled on his back in an alley.
So I'm dead.
With a gunshot wound in his chest.
And I think it's because of this redhead.
She gazes down at him earlier as he kneels in the alley with a black man behind him.
Do you know who I am, Jake?
The Antichrist?
No. I'm just a guy looking for some answers.
Hey, you know, pal, ain't we all?
The black man cocks a pistol.
Things are probably gonna end badly for you tonight, Jake.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that feeling.
As the pistol touches his head, Jake winces.
Is your life flashing before your eyes?
Honestly, just the last 3 weeks.
That's not a bad place to start.
3 weeks earlier, a man bursts into a laneway with Jake on his heels.
All right, calm down, okay? I'm sorry. I lost my head now. I don't know what happened.
You fucking shut up!
What other fucking choice do I have? The motherfucker was gonna welch, all right? Did you not hear him? Did you not see him?
I can't be here, man. Do you understand me? I can't fucking be here!
Listen to me, all right? It went to shit. That happens sometimes.
Oh, fuck, man!
You're not listening to me, Ryder. Okay, now we can still get through this. We still have some time, but I need you to use your fucking head, and I need you to trust me.
The man, Lionel, looks at the gun in Jake's hand.
Can you do that? Now let's go.
Reluctantly, Lionel returns with Jake through the back door of El Euclid. Inside the seedy, dimly lit bar, a fat man sits nervously near the blood-spattered body of another man. The barman watches as Jake grabs the body under the shoulders.
Come on, grab his feet, will you?
He looks up at Lionel.
Lionel, he's dead, all right? Now, maybe you didn't pull the trigger, but you were standing right there and you saw me do it. Now, grab his fucking legs.
Tick tock.
Hey, look, you want to help, then help. If not, shut your pie hole.
Your mess.
Hey, do me a favor, please. Shut your fucking mouth, will you?
My place.
Jake draws his gun.
Maybe now you'll shut the fuck up.
The barman grins.
Please!
And draws a shotgun.
You think this kind of shit hasn't happened here before? Given it's usually on Wednesday, and usually I tell the cops, no, officer, I didn't get a good look at the shooters.
Lionel shudders.
Usually, anyway.
I swear to God, I didn't see anything. You let me go, I won't say a word, I promise.
Don't get hysterical on us, sweetheart, all right?
I can't fucking be here!
And you know what, Lionel? Then maybe you should go, huh?
Lionel hesitates, looking at the open briefcase full of blood-spattered money on the bar.
What about the money?
The barman cocks the shotgun.
What about this situation makes you think I can answer that question right now, huh?
Fuck!
Lionel flees. Bursting out the back door, he dashes up the laneway to his car and gets in. He ducks down as a sedan with a flashing red light on its roof peels into the laneway, and two plainclothes cops jump out drawing their guns. As they charge into the bar, Lionel starts his car and peels away. Inside...
All right, guys, stop waving those things
around.
It's
all you want.
The blood-spattered man on the floor gets up.
It's like 100 degrees in here, and I'm lying in this shit forever.
What the fuck? You guys were late. We had to go to a Mexican standoff.
You gotta go to gunplay. Gentlemen, that is on our racket.
We're busy fighting crime. They keeping the streets safe for pedophiles and drug dealers?
The victim pulls off a bulletproof vest with a burst pouch of blood.
I told you, you're using too much powder. Look at my fucking shirt.
Right, I understand, but you know something? You don't get the nice splatter effect.
Jake holds up a bundle of money.
All right, the ones with blood come out of your cut.
I can live with that.
Hey, Jake, when do I get to play the inside?
Jake looks at the fat man.
Gordo plays the inside. You're the shill. You know that.
Yeah, but come on. All I do is cry and get insulted here.
What are you talking about? Now, come on. You should get a fucking Academy Award for the shill work you do. Big gal, does anyone do it better than you, huh? Now, come on. We got a good thing going here. You want to jinx us by changing things?
No, you're right. I don't want to jinx anything.
Of course I'm right. There you go. That's your cut.
Thank you.
Go work, Paisan.
As Al, the fat man, leaves, Gordo looks at Jake.
What?
It's a lot of cash. He came up with it awfully quick.
Did you see how quickly he got out of here? All right, he's not coming back. It's over.
Okay. All right. I got a pinch of loaf. Did anybody mess up the hoop?
It's clean.
Yeah. Miles, the barman, grins as Jake pays
Gentlemen,
off the two cops.
10%. Your cut.
Woo!
Enjoy.
You guys got a lot of sack, man. I'll give you that much.
It's confidence. Just confidence.
Later.
Doesn't matter what the con is. Insider trading, a line we got at a bookie club, insurance scam, whatever. You've seen the money and you want it. More of it. So who cares if you have to bend the rules a little bit? As long as nobody gets hurt. But then somebody does.
Back in the bar, Gordo is shot in the chest by Jake, to Lionel's dismay. A James Foley film.
Tommy Suits always said a confidence game is like putting on a play where everyone knows their part. The inside man, the roper, the shills, everyone that is, except for the mark. So now you're an accomplice in a homicide. Everything you thought you were in control of just flew out the window or is dripping down your leg. You should be running out the door, desperate to forget that this ever happened and ready to repent your greedy ways.
What about the money?
But then there it is again, that itch. There's a guy standing in front of you with a smoking gun. Another guy on the floor bleeding all over the place, and all you can do is think about the money. You're a sick, twisted fuck.
Edward Burns.
So we gotta make sure that we give you the blow-off. We have to make sure that you never, ever come looking for us again. We have to get you off of our backs forever.
Rachel Weisz.
So that's why we give you the fix.
Fuck.
Andy Garcia.
Fuck. Fuck!
Lionel flees the scene.
Fuck!
LAPD's finest. Half as smart and twice as crooked as the guys they just chased away.
Fucking scumbag sucks, fucking cocksucker!
Confidence.
Grifters.
In the alley.
Yeah, well, we all can't be model citizens such as yourself.
It's all about the money in it.
Ain't it always? It's what makes us run.
Miles has a blonde beauty on his lap.
Dutch. Ooh. And despite what they say,
she bares her breasts and takes his money.
Me too.
It can buy you love.
Ah.
So check it out. Original leather seats, soft top.
Gordo buys a vintage Lincoln Continental convertible.
Nice.
It can say everything about you. It can erase all those things about you you wish didn't exist.
In his apartment.
So I want to settle up.
Al makes a phone call.
No, I haven't been ducking you. I told you I'd get it.
It can make you think you're on top of the world. And if you believe that money can do all that for you, you're the perfect mark.
On the street, a beautiful brunette bumps into Jake. With a slight smile, she brushes past him and heads towards some stairs where an older man is waiting for her. As he leads her away, she looks back at Jake. Jake frowns to himself as he continues on his way.
Wasn't it Jack Kerouac who said, if you own a rug, you own too much? I don't necessarily like Kerouac, and driving cross-country isn't my idea of a good time, but the guy's got a point.
Entering a sparsely furnished apartment, Jake checks his answering machine.
I'm still dizzy from the other night. Call me. Hi, Scott. Just thought I'd call you and tell you I was back. You know the number. It's Kate, by the way. Bruce, it's Cheryl. You know, if you don't want to see me, just say so. But this is the last time I'm calling.
If you've got nothing, you've got nothing to lose. And when it comes to money, whether it's finding it or losing it, you just have to remember how much of it is just luck.
Out on the balcony, Jake feels for his wallet and remembers the brunette bumping into him. A pigeon lands on the balcony beside him.
Just dumb fucking luck.
In his apartment, Lionel is hurriedly packing a suitcase. When the door bursts open and a huge black man strides in.
Mr. Dolby, Mr. King would like a word with you.
Now, right now?
We have a car waiting.
Lionel nods weakly. Directed by James Foley. The next morning, Jake answers his phone.
Hello?
You better get over to Al's now.
For what? Hello?
In his apartment, Al sits in his chair with a bullet hole in his forehead. Jake looks down at him.
Nothing. Who the fuck?
There's a couple $100 in his dresser. All of his shit's here. This definitely wasn't a random thing.
Is it ever a random thing?
Gordo shakes his head as Miles closes Al's eyes.
Shit, Al. What did you do?
All right, now let's just think about this for
fucking
a second.
Fucking town, man. Jesus Christ, I had a bad feeling about L.A. Didn't I say that? This damn fucking town.
Gordon, now is not the time for that, all right?
I'm sorry, I'm just a little... Jesus Christ, look at what they did to him. Jake, right in the middle of his egg, foo young.
I mean, you think there's a chance they know about us? I mean, what if they get to us, too?
Don't start freaking out, okay? Let's get Al out of here first, all right?
Miles, get a blanket or something.
No, we're gonna leave him right here.
They stare at him.
What are you, high? We're not leaving Al here.
Gordo upsets a coffee table.
Grab that amp now. Grab it, Miles!
As they stoop for the rug.
Miles, pick up the table and put it back. Gordo, let go of the fucking rug. I said we're leaving him here.
Drop it.
Fuck you! Fuck you! How long have we worked with this fucking guy? I'm not gonna just fucking leave him here! All right?
Gordo, get a fucking grip. We're leaving him here.
Jake nods to Miles, who writes the coffee table. Gathering them from the floor, Jake replaces the items that were on the table. On the wall is a photo of Al and his dad.
Big Al used to send money to his father, a Vietnam vet slowly losing his mind in a VA hospital in Cleveland.
Jake takes the photo.
Al was like that. Now you coming?
Jake looks at Gordo and Miles, and they leave Al slumped in his chair with the bullet hole in his forehead.
That's why Al never played the inside.
Later, Gordo joins Jake and Miles at a sidewalk cafe.
So what do you hear?
Well, it seems Lionel Dalby came down with a sudden case of drowning last night. I just pulled him out of the Silver Lake Reservoir. Now I know why he was such a good rope. You know, I mean, cash that much and we never had to put him on the scent? Turns out this fucking mope was an accountant for the king.
The what? Who's that?
Cash we fleeced off of him was collection money. Bookies, pushers, you know, whatever. He was supposed to take that money and give it back to the king earlier yesterday like he does every Thursday, except this time, that fucking stunad figured he could make a little something off of us and still get the money back to king before anybody says boo.
Okay, what's a king?
Currently, very large type pole stuck right up our asses, Moses.
Mob?
No. Independent. Winston King likes to call himself the king.
How'd they get out?
It's beautiful. Last night, Al calls some bookie out in Redondo. Tells him he's got the cash to settle up. Because apparently he's been ducking this guy for like a month. Classic fucking Al, right? So the bookie asks where he's got this money all of a sudden. Does Al tell this guy that he just cashed a fucking bar mitzvah bond? That he's been given head for $20 a pop? No. Fucking idiot starts going on and on about how his job he just pulled, how he fleeced Dolby. How he fleeced.
What, are you pissed that we didn't get credit?
No. That was the only semi-fucking smart thing he said. Except anybody that's ever met Big Al knows the only thing he's comfortable doing alone is eating. So this guy tells that guy tells some other guy. Eventually it works its way back to someone who works for the king and...
Back in his apartment, Al is watching TV when the door flies open and someone shoots him.
Any idea who the shooter was?
Specifically, I don't know. But I'm sure that they're looking for us, too.
All right, just an idea, but divvy up the cash and this is fucking split.
Excuse me, are you new? Is that the thing? Is he new? Miles, this guy holds a grudge better than my ex-mother-in-law. You remember that Moishe Maselli? That fucking Jew-Italian guy from Boston, they used to call him Mazza Mazzarelli, remember that?
The guy with the face spaz.
Called a facial twitch, Miles. And the guy was not born like that, you know. Well, apparently, 5 years ago, Mazza was turf-fixing for the king down in Santa Anita, and he skimmed $2,000 before skipping town. 5 years later, King finally catches up to him, keeps him chained in his fucking bathroom for like 5 days.
God.
Now all you have to do is say the word king, spits up all over himself.
Jesus.
Pathetic. Even words like Viking and shrinking, they set the guy off. It's a 5-year grudge over $2,000.
so we gotta talk to him.
Whoa. You wanna get the money back?
I didn't say that.
Pittsburgh. I don't have to. Pittsburgh's where it's happening.
A white pigeon settles on an empty table beside them.
Bird flew into my house last night, too. Not a good sign, Gordo.
Later at the Euclid.
The Euclid was our place. Gordo fleeced the deed off some jagoff in a card game. We used it every now and then for a rag, but mostly it was our office, our PowerPoint.
Jake put some money into a post office mailer.
What are you doing?
Where the hell's that going?
Jake shows them the photo of Al and his dad. Then he slips it into the mailer. Gordo adds a roll of bills, and so does Miles. Then he fills out the label.
We want insurance?
Jesus Christ, Miles.
Just asking.
Just mail it.
Jake makes a call on his cell phone.
Yeah, I'm looking for the king, please.
Just tell him it's regarding an accounting problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll know.
Hollywood and Vine?
Okay.
When?
2 hours from now. But just me.
Well, fuck that. We're going till.
Let's all just put our dicks back in our pants for a second, okay? Is this the best thing to do?
How do you know the king is going to let you walk, Jake?
Because I'm getting a ride.
At Hollywood and Vine, Jake gets out of the cop's sedan.
Hey, don't be dicking around in there, okay? And if he shoots you or stabs you or causes you to bleed profusely, call the cab because you're after getting back in here.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate your fox out.
The huge black man is waiting for him, along with another man who shoves Jake up against a wall.
Lupus!
You said to pat him down, so I'm patting him down.
It takes a moment to be polite. My apology, Mr. Van. If you wouldn't mind.
Wearing a neat suit, Jake spreads his arms to be frisked.
So you the guy that got Big Al?
Nope. Mr. King farms out that kind of work. Please. After you.
As Jake heads inside, Harlan, the huge black man, glances back at the two cops parked at the curb. Inside, he leads Jake through a large club where people are busy setting up. Leaving Jake in a hallway, he enters an office where the king is watching a porno channel.
Okay, now you see that?
Right there.
Find out who she is. Make a note. I think it's channel 42 or 3, okay? A little harder.
The girls are here, and the kid. Also got the Selden brothers with a shipment.
Bring them in.
Which?
Whatever.
The brothers, the girl, or the kid.
Oh, that's good. Whoever. Come on. I'm getting a massage, Harlan.
You got it, boss.
The king switches the TV to the dog races. Jake saunters in. Followed by two pretty girls.
Go!
Hey!
King smiles at Jake.
Well, look at here.
The girls smile shyly.
Hi, girls.
Hi.
So, tell me, you two together?
We're sisters.
Wow. I like sisters. Jake, I can't quite see. So why don't you just move a little bit so I can check him out, then you can check him out. Thanks.
Jake steps aside.
Sisters, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And you're over 18.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Harlan, let's see what the sisters can do. Put them in the booth.
Ladies?
They start out.
Oh, by the way, yeah, escort. LAPD.
Oh.
King looks at Jake.
That's a little overreacting. I'm not going to hurt you.
It's just a little insurance. That's all.
Uh-huh. So they're on the take for you. You must be pretty good. You got cops driving you around, huh? Is that because you look so innocent and you're kind of cute there, aren't you?
Yeah, it's something like that.
So what do you do, Tiger? You just count people out of the money?
There's actually some technique to it.
Aha, you mean like, style?
Yeah, well, it helps, don't you think?
No. Style's at the end of my list, I'll tell you why. When I was a young man like you just starting out, my first big score, this guy we robbed, I think his name was, Chinatown Schmidt, okay? It was nothing big, my end was about $800. Anyways, first thing I did, I go out and get myself a suit, right? And I look good. It was like white. It was white. Oh, I look good, man. I'm telling you. I walked down the street. I mean, everybody was checking me out. Male and female.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, First day I wore it out. October was still hot out. We were kicking back in Malibu and Chinatown. Schmidt, right? He catches up with us, so two guys roll by. Boom, 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 boom. Six of us scatter, man, of dust cells, you know. Everybody's checking their fingers and their toes. And who is the one guy that got hit? Sailor?
Jake nods.
You know why? White suit. I was the first thing they saw. I was the first thing they aimed at. I was the first thing they hit. So what did I learn that day, Jake?
Don't wear white after Labor Day, maybe?
No. Sometimes, Jake, style can get you killed.
Jake stares at him.
Mr. King?
Harlan returns.
The girls are ready.
Oh, great. Wait, sport, you're gonna love it. You ever been here before?
That's not really my thing.
Oh, you don't know that. Tuesday we got disco night. Wednesday is that electronic music shit.
As he leads Jake through the club, King steps on something.
Ow, ow, ow. Lupus, I want you to get me. Lupus! Lupus! Lupus, goddammit, you're looking at them, you're working for me. I want you to get me an espresso, please, and tell that bitch to give me back my slippy dips. Come on. Now, let me ask you something. Why one of my guys? Why Lionel Dolby? I mean, my six-year-old nephew could con anything out of that dude. Why?
Look, if we knew Dolby was connected to you, we never would have gone near him, so I apologize for any inconvenience.
Honest mistake. All right. It's just something between two guys that don't know each other yet, right? So we're going to make an exchange of the money, and then all will be forgiven. Isn't that right?
No, that I won't do.
Won't? You won't. You won't. I want you to look very hard at me, motherfucker, and tell me why.
All right, let me rephrase that. That I can't do. Because A, I don't have the money, and B, you killed one of my guys.
One of your guys? That's a four spot, right?
Yeah, four. Yeah.
Lupus leaves the espresso.
I gotta take a pill. I'm all over the place. This is confidential, right?
In a glass booth, one of the girls is on her knees licking the other girl.
Hey! Hey, stop it! Stop that right now! They can't hear me. Harlan, get him out of there! God damn it! Down! Down! Shit, man, how do you like that? They're sisters. Let me ask you something. I want a straight answer now. You did not know that Dolby was connected to me.
You heard me before.
But it's so important that you don't stray from the truth in this one little part.
I didn't know.
You're a good grifter, man. It's hard to tell when you're lying. But I'm getting there. Come here, girls. Now listen to me. This is the first time I ever put girls in the booth. Usually they work their way up. Mm-hmm. You're gonna go work on your routine. You know why? Because you're saying that you're sisters.
Mm-hmm. We're sisters.
Shh.
We're very close.
Let me talk.
You don't like what we're doing?
Of course I like what you're doing, but I like it done with artistry, with grace. And that means if you're gonna eat each other, you must find a way to do it tastefully. Okay? Mm-hmm. These are people here. They got families. All right?
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
Then go work. Go on. Go on.
Ladies.
Tell me this. How are you and I going to resolve our shit?
I get you what I owe you, plus interest by going on the grift for you.
I like that. Okay, sit down here. Put your baby cakes down here, that cute little Irish muscle ass you got.
Look, I came here to do a deal, not play grab ass with you, you freak, all right?
Humor.
You heard my proposal.
Humor. Jake, Junior, Buster, humor. Come on, you want to get out of here? I got to open up the place. Come on, sit down. Business. Come on.
Jake reluctantly sits down near King.
All right. Now, here's what I... You don't want to sit closer?
No, I'm fine over here. Thank you.
All right. Can I see your hand? You got a big hand. Let me see your hand. I'm not going to bite you. Look at that hand, man. You should have been a pianist or a guitarist. Look at the size of that. Wow. See this? That's your love line. That's your money line, and that's looking very, very good. And that's your lifeline going all the way down. Uh-oh. You see that little gap there? It means at one point, you could have a little trouble. But it's up to you to make it better.
King smiles at Jake.
Now.
And squeezes his hand.
I want you to talk to me, and I want you to make me happy. And I don't want you to scare me. You do not want to scare me, Junior. What's going to happen now?
I play a cut. Mm-hmm. You get a cut, I get a cut, we get square.
And I give you the who, and you give me the how. Right? And you can, because you're so good, right?
I like to think so.
Yeah, okay. You're gonna do this with Morgan Price.
Morgan Price?
Yes.
Impossible.
Why?
Why? Because you can't get to him. He's too big.
You got to me.
Yeah, but we got to you because...
What?
You were a fluke, a mistake.
Ah. That's a good answer.
Why Morgan Price?
Because he is very important to me.
Lupus!
Don't fuck with me, Junior, okay?
Lupus!
You know what? You're gonna take my friend Lupus with you, okay?
Absolutely not. That's not the way I operate. I work with my guys.
You're gonna take Lupus with you. That's the way I operate. Look at me now. Tell me we're set.
Jake looks ruefully at Lupus.
Yeah, we're set. We done with all this business now?
Well, I mean, the rest of it depends on you.
I think I'm done.
Later, people are lined up outside a club, paying a doorman to let them in. Inside, Jake steps through a doorway and looks around.
Romance.
On his way through the crowded club, he notices a beautiful brunette at the bar, whispering in the ear of a middle-aged man. As she heads for the ladies' room, Jake bumps into her, then lets her go. She hurries past the ladies' room and goes out the rear exit. She's the one who picked his pocket.
Excuse me, miss. Miss.
Jake follows her.
I think you dropped something?
He holds up a wallet.
Yeah, you're good, but you're not that good. I spotted that lift from across the club.
She turns away from him.
Wait, you don't recognize me?
Hey, Tony, could you get my car?
Sure. You really don't remember me, do you?
Should I?
As he lights her cigarette, she places him.
All right.
That's good. So you interested in a little work?
Couldn't afford me. Not with $27 and a maxed out Visa, John. Or is it Tom or Bill? Hard to tell with so many IDs.
Yeah, well, the name's Jake. All right, and don't flatter yourself, sweetheart. That's one thing I've never had to pay for, and I don't consider it work.
Guess you got the wrong girl, then.
Do me a favor. Take a deep breath and count to 10, all right? I'm talking about a grift, and it pays well. Unless you think you're gonna get rich jerking off geriatrics in that place.
I didn't know you cared. Keep the wallet. We're even. Take a deep breath. Count to 10. Yeah.
Leaning close, she whispers in his ear.
Go fuck yourself.
She gazes sweetly into his eyes, then turns away.
Look, it pays well, all right? Six figures. All you gotta do is play a part, do a little acting. You think you can handle that?
Why me? You don't even know me.
Because what I've seen, I've liked. And I got a good feeling about you. Hasn't anyone ever said that to you before?
They're close enough to kiss.
No.
She turns away.
Thanks, Tony.
Good.
But I'll think about it.
All right. I think it'll be worth your while.
Make a wish.
She nods at a clock.
11:11, make a wish.
She gets into her convertible.
That's twice.
Holding up the wallet, she drives off. Back in the alley.
Let's see why you liked her.
Yeah, I liked her a lot. And that was it. We had our crew. So now all we needed was the con.
Earlier, Gordo and Miles are rolling dice. When Jake arrives with company.
What's up, guys?
Who's the mump?
This is Lupus. He works with the King, and now he's going to be part of our crew.
I'm here to make sure things go smoothly.
Huh?
Anybody got a light?
And this is Lily. She's the new shill I was telling you about.
Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold the fucking phone. What is this? Are we playing a con, or are we doing a rendition of Our Town?
Gordo, trust me. We need the help on this one, all right? Our new mark, Morgan Price.
Why?
Because that's who the king wants us to fleece. And besides, Price is perfect.
Price rides in his limo.
You're supposed to wait for me.
His old man was a big-time mob attorney, which makes him a second-generation crook.
No.
When he dropped dead, Price carried on the family tradition by opening a one-stop shopping center for money laundering and low-interest corporate fraud.
Well, fuck him.
They say that almost $1 billion gets washed through his shop every year, so we know he's got the money. It's just a matter of getting to it.
How much are we going after?
$5 million.
We only owe the king 150.
I know. Well, that's why we don't go after him directly. First, we find a doable mark in Price's bank. Mid-level employee. We meet him with papers inquiring about a corporate loan. Our guy then fudges numbers in the right places. Moves our papers to the top of the pile or to the bottom, depending upon what we need. The loan is approved. On the given day, money's wired into a corporate account in an offshore bank. That same day, I show up in Belize with the proper ID and corporate papers to make the withdrawal. What is it, Miles?
I'm just thinking out loud here, but $5 million in a briefcase?
Good point. It's bank policy not to release this money in cash because it's under a corporate account. So we then cash the check at another bank. Any major airport's gonna be too hard to control. LAX is out. So we'll use Ontario, mid-level hub with direct international flights, 40 minutes outside LA. Now this is the most important part. You can't just walk into the United States with a suitcase full of cash without invoking the words cavity search. That's why we need someone on the inside of customs. Then we disappear.
Jake smiles. Miles chuckles.
This might just be me, but that is hands down the dumbest fucking idea I've ever heard.
People have tried this before, Jake. It's never worked. Teddy Frazier and his crew got nailed in Vancouver just last year.
Look, it's never worked before because A, they didn't flush the bank enough. B, their corporate papers were for shit. And C, unlike us, they did not have somebody on the inside of customs.
Yeah, or D, it's a dumb fucking idea.
Hey.
What do you fucking suggest, Miles, huh? You want to run?
We never had a problem with that before.
Yeah, we never had a fucking problem like this before.
Yes, we have, okay? And we would have been beautiful about it. We would have had a bucket of fried chicken delivered to the king with a nice kiss my ass card attached to it, and we would have moved on until the next local putz caught on.
We're getting too old to run, Miles.
Yeah, well, we're still a little too young for San Quentin. Look, are you pissed off about Al? Hey, look at me. Trust me, I'm pissed too. But I'm not 25 to life pissed.
Look, I'm getting clear of this. All right? So if you don't want to do it for the fucking principle, do it for the money. Gordo?
Yeah, Jake, whatever.
Look, there's no whatevers with this one. You're either with me or against me. No third position.
I'm in.
Oh, what a relief.
I agreed with Miles. It was, hands down, a dumb fucking idea. But they bought him. Now I had to deliver.
Yeah, it's Vic.
And I needed help.
Jake's two cops are staked out in their sedan.
Yeah, what do you do with heroin?
You sell it.
To who?
Don't be a knucklehead.
How hard do you think it is?
Someone is videotaping their conversation from a distance.
Hey, Vic is right. We're looking at 100, 150.
You think this is a good idea? I mean, we never done this shit before.
Well, what's he gonna do? File a missing drug report? Hey, if it works out, we could turn the guy over a few times.
I hope so, bro. I took my daughter to the orthodontist yesterday. $150 to tighten those bitches up. Took him 5 minutes, then he said it wasn't even covered.
It's cosmetic. The plan doesn't cover cosmetic. I had a cap
put in here, right? My fucking dentist tells me you're not covered for that. Bullshit cosmetics. I tell him, look, I got a freaking tooth split in half here, right?
Write that shit in as a cavity or something.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. fucking department got the bullshit dental plan.
Whitworth spots a youth with a red bag.
It's your man right there, red bag, right?
That's the guy? Yeah,
red bag.
Jumping out of their sedan, they chase the youth down. Back in the alley.
So how'd you get caught?
Tommy Suits used to say that in any con, sooner or later, somebody's going to start asking the right questions. Usually it takes a little longer, though.
Earlier, at a sidewalk cafe.
Am I the only one who feels like we can't make a move with this guy on us? I think we should ditch him.
No, we need him and dummy up. Here he comes.
Lupus joins them.
Ah, here he is. Hey, hey.
How's the hope?
Superstar claim?
What the fuck is it with you in bathrooms, huh? Tell me.
Hey, can't use the restroom unless he knows it's clean. What's the matter with that?
Manlio, right, wise guy?
That's cute. You know, this is a major metropolitan city, brother. Public sanitation has not run very high on the city hall agenda. You know what you can get off a toilet seat or a doorknob? Want to run down the list? Hepatitis? You ever hear of that? Influenza? Fucking flesh-eating disease?
I'm eating.
Oh, yeah, we noticed. You need a shovel down there, dear?
Sure, go ahead. Enough, all right? We got to get down to business here. Miles, we're going to need you to find us a mark inside of Price's bank, all right? Somebody we can work with. And Gordo, we're going to need papers. Corporate insurance, a letter of intent, the whole nine.
All for gays.
No. Corporate papers have got to be legit. Okay, and we're all going to need new IDs. You got to make sure they're clean. So go talk to Suits and he'll hook you up.
All right, what about customs?
Now, don't worry about customs. I'll take care of that. But we're going to need some startup cash first. Lupus, you think the king would be willing to bank us?
You already own.
Lupus, we need a banker for this. I mean, we can't do this job without a banker. Gordo, do we need a banker?
I think so, yes.
I think we need a banker.
I don't know, man. You could try.
Yeah, he's not going to listen to me. But if you talk to him, loosen him up, maybe he'll listen to
me. All right. I'll try, okay?
Don't do us any favors, all right?
Jesus, join the team.
So you guys good? You know what we need to do?
Yeah.
All right. Lupus, Lily, we'll go over to see the king now. Ready to roll?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
They get up, except for Lily.
I'm not finished.
She's not finished.
What's wrong with you? What's your manners?
They sit down again.
Nice!
At his club.
You know why? Because it's real.
King is coaching the sisters when Lupus steps up to him.
All right, that's it. What?
Jake's here. He wants you to stake him a couple of $100,000.
No. You're supposed to be getting me money, not costing me money.
He says we need it. And I gotta say, boss, this guy's pretty sharp, you know?
Look at me. You getting a crush on him, huh?
What are you talking
about? Don't let him get into you because he's a charmer. You tell him to wait a minute, and then you bring him in.
He's right behind you.
Get out of here. And he's starting to scare me, sport. Harlem. $200,000, isn't that more than you owe me?
Hey, look, you're just going to have to trust me on this, all right?
Oh, no, you're a day late on trust.
He notices Lily.
Well, I think what he's trying to say is that he'll...
Ooh. You brought her for a reason, didn't you, Booster? Let's listen to her.
Now, why don't you listen up, all right? Even though I'm running the show for you, I'm still running the show. So we're going to put an end to the Scooter Junior Skippy Sport Tiger Booster bullshit. All right, the name is Jake.
King is focused on Lily.
Hey, what do you say you get the ADD under control? You look me in the eye when I'm talking to you.
What's your name, honey?
Her name is Lily.
Booster, have I ever referred to you as honey? Have I, Scooter? It's a common mistake that Jake is making when he says ADD. What he really means is ADHD, or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. See, the important word is the H, hyperactivity. I don't understand. Why do you let her do that?
He throws away your cigarette.
It's poison. See? Feel my heart.
He unbuttons his shirt.
Go ahead. I bet it beats twice as fast as yours. Go on, feel it.
I'm fine, thanks.
What? Oh, come on. Will you feel my heart? I'm not going to bite you.
He holds her hand to his chest.
God, you feel good.
He puts his hand on her chest above her low-cut dress.
Like a trip hammer, right? See, much faster than yours. Why am I enjoying this so much, Jake?
He touches the top of her breast.
Because I feel like she is, too.
Then he caresses her face.
Sorry. I know that was tasteless, dear. I was just trying to make a point to Jake, okay?
Well, look, what do you say you get your ADD under control, all right, and we get to the fucking point?
Ooh. I think Jake's referring to my medication, which I thought was confidential. Jacob, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know why I take that stuff? Because if I don't, I become hyper or primitive, right? Or impulsive. You never know when I'm going to lose it.
He smacks Jake's face.
Now listen to me, okay? Hey. I'm not a violent man. I like to think I'm above that, right? You took my money, and now you're asking for more. And I'm gonna give you. I'm gonna give you what you're asking for, which is how much? Tell me again.
200.
200? How much is that all together, including what you took from me the first time?
350.
Oh, that's very good. You're smart, aren't you? You told me you were smart. You're a smart, smart.
He wraps Jake's forehead.
So be smarter, huh? Don't get hurt. Don't scare me. You got a good, healthy, long life ahead of you. I like you. Now say we're set.
We're set.
Say it like you like me to. Come on, you can do it. Say we're set like you like me.
We're set.
Oh. Okay, now why don't you take your lovely, lovely lady home?
He turns to Lily.
Oh my God, you're beautiful.
Let's go.
As Jake leaves with Lily, King turns on Lupus.
Don't you ever, ever let anyone stand behind me without me knowing.
He headbutts him.
You hear me? You understand me?
In the alley.
So the King gave you the money.
Now we just needed to find our guy at Price's bank.
Earlier.
What you're looking for in a mark is someone whose weaknesses you can exploit.
Michelle Strigo, loan officer.
Guy like me, people like that, I'll tell you what you're looking for without even meeting him.
Almost hit by a cab, the prospect bashes it with her briefcase. Single, volatile, confrontational woman.
It's like a personal ad you wear over your head. She's not gonna work.
You sure?
From a spot outside Price's bank, the crew observes another prospect.
Jay Hauser, VP of International Finance.
The personal ad for this prospect reads, Young Finance Turk seeks acknowledgement of monetary earning potential from supermodel types 18 to 25.
No.
Their next prospect is a tall, thick-necked balding man.
Leon Ashby, VP of Corporate Loans.
He heads for a bar.
What you're looking for in a mark is someone who's got nothing to lose. No friends, no family, no life. You're looking for a guy who doesn't own a rug.
Oh, yeah, he's perfect.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ashby was the right mark. Now I needed to see if Lily was the right shill.
In a chic jewelry store.
One watch engraved to Carolyn. Happy graduation, counselor. Love, Mom and Dad.
Good.
Jake one leaves Lily and approaches a counter.
Happy 25th anniversary. Love, Tom.
Perfect.
I'll be right back, Mr. Lewis.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, I think you have something on hold for me.
Do you have a ticket?
I don't. I lost it, but the name is Hanson.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Mr. Lewis, right?
Yes?
Yeah, Jake Hanson. I go to law school with your daughter, Carolyn. We met a couple of times before.
So. Oh, of course, Jake.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to see you again.
Good to see you, too. Yeah. You remember, Lily. This beautiful woman is my wife. Lily, this is Carolyn's father.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Pleasure, I'm sure. So, what brings you down from Stanford? Taking advantage of a long weekend, huh?
Yeah, we're,
It's our first anniversary.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's great. Carolyn's down for the weekend, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Look, maybe you could do me a favor, then. We split the cost on a couple of books last semester, and I never got an opportunity to pay her back.
Okay.
I'll just write you a check.
Sure.
There's nothing for Hanson. If we had a ticket, I could check the computer.
But yesterday, my wallet and my wife's purse were stolen, and the ticket was in my wallet. Maybe you could just check again.
Where did this happen?
Well, we're staying at the Peninsula, and I think it might have been the housekeeping staff. Well, Jake has a little more faith in humanity than I do, so he hates me saying it, but I think it's true.
Well, boy, you have to be so careful these days.
You sure do. Honey, I'm just gonna go and break out a wallet. It was nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you.
Here you are, Mr. Rose.
Good.
I'm sorry, sir. Still nothing.
Really?
May I ask what it was?
Yeah. It's a shame. It was a pair of diamond earrings. You know, actually, it's just like those.
We have those in stock.
Oh, great. Let me write you a check.
Only with proper ID.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But like I just explained to you, my wallet was... Look, this is sort of a very special day for my wife and I. It being our first anniversary. And, well, she thinks we're here to pick up something for my mother, but I wanted to surprise her with something special. So if you think you could make an exception today, I mean, just this one time.
I'm sorry.
Please tell Carolyn I said hello and pass that on to her.
I sure will.
Of course, it was good to see you again.
Good to see you. Look, Jake, why don't you write me a check and let me put the earrings on my credit card? Is that all right with you?
If you would be willing to do that, that would be great.
Good. Please.
As Jake makes out the check, Lily watches with a faint smile. Outside.
Mr. Lewis, thanks again.
You bet, Jake.
As they stroll off.
Happy anniversary.
Jake gives Lily the earrings.
All right, and that's how you pull a con. It's a smile like you just got a present from the man of your dreams.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now let's give him a strong finish, all right?
As Mr. Lewis looks on, Jake kisses her. Lily responds. Smiling happily, Mr. Lewis leaves.
He's gone.
What? Oh, yeah.
I gotta go get a haircut.
She walks off. Jake's two cops, Whitworth and Manzano, breeze into a diner.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
And slide into a booth by the windows.
What do you have?
I'm gonna go light. I'm gonna get the chicken and rib combo.
That's light?
Yeah, I'm not getting the coleslaw.
Oh. So, what's good here?
A man in a rumpled suit sits down with them.
Who the fuck are you?
Special Agent Gunter Butan.
He shows them his badge.
Special Agent.
I'm looking for Jake Vig.
Who?
Who? The invisible man, the specter, the spook, the ghost. But then the other day, like a gift, a buddy of his, a crew member, Alphonse Morley. You know Alphonse Morley. Wakes up with a hole in his head.
Look, Special Agent, what's your name?
Butan.
Look, I got a pretty good sense of humor like most people, you know.
Really? You have a sense of humor?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, this is some kind of a fucking joke. I'm not into this shit.
A joke? A couple years ago, I'm working undercover on a case that Jake Vig is involved with. He's running some sort of scam. Importing merchandise for some guy in Tampa. And I got close, real close, and he knew it. In order to let me know and to rub it in, he sent me this tie. Since then, I've been following him from Chicago to Denver to Salt Lake City to Phoenix. And I've been wearing this tie ever since because it keeps me motivated.
Hey, man, that's a real nice tie. I don't know if it says Special Agent.
You know what it says? It says, you can't catch me, so fuck you. So fuck you. And fuck you!
Hey.
Butan takes a deep breath.
Temper's a sign of weakness. Temper's a sign of weakness.
Hey, man, can we get you a glass of water?
I'm working at this temper management issue. My doc says I should stay calm because I might do or say something that I might regret later.
Look, Special Agent.
On a mini video recorder, he shows them the videotape of their conversation.
Looks like we're looking at 100.
Hey, put that away.
Hey, Jesus.
Let's take a walk.
Outside.
Now, here's the deal. You guys are going to help me catch Jake Vig. Whatever he's into next, you guys are going to be into. And whatever you're into, I'm into. This fucking gun is killing my back. In exchange, I'm going to make sure you guys are cleared of any past associations with Vig as part of a cross-departmental investigation. And that home movie I got, I'll make sure that it doesn't move its way into internal affairs. Who knows? This prick's been on the wish list so long, you two guys might even get a promotion.
What the fuck are you getting out of all this?
Ah, peace of mind. I might even get a chance to get rid of this fucking tie. What are you looking at me that way, Lloyd? Not everybody's on the take.
Look, if you feds are so hot for the sky, why don't you just let us go out? We'll bring them in.
That's it.
A fox is not a fox until he's caught in the hen house.
Oh, nice. What is that, an analogy?
Metaphor.
Actually, it's neither, but it is a good deal. You guys go clean, I get peace of mind, and better yet, Lloyd's daughter here gets to keep her braces and have that winning smile just like her daddy. One more thing. You guys can't be running around with heroin in your car.
They open the trunk and give him the red bag. Butan unzips it and checks the two fat bags of heroin inside.
Let me tell you something about Butan, all right? He's just as crooked as the next guy.
In the alley.
Not for nothing, but you think he'd have something better to do with taxpayer dollars.
Well, cue the fucking violins. Come on, man, it's getting cold out here.
Earlier at Jake's.
It was all in play. Everything. And with a little luck, we're about to land the mark.
Where the hell is she?
I have no idea. It's 10 minutes late.
Luck's a funny thing, especially the bag.
She's nice.
Black cats, breaking a mirror, three on a match.
It's about time.
Believe it. Mm. Believe it all. But if you really want to talk about bad luck, redheads.
Lily has colored her hair bright red.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
Oh, shit.
Top three all-time worst redheads. Lizzie Borden, axe murderer. Judas, betrayer. Shirley Vig, abandoner.
Jake remembers as a boy watching his mother drive off.
Nice to see you too.
Do you have any idea what you've done? Any idea? What is with the hair?
What? You told me to change it.
But the fucking grand poobah of all jinxes? A bird in your house. A bird enters your house, it means death. But what about this then? I mean, what's with the scarf then, with the birds? I mean, do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? You have just put a mother of a jinx on us. Gordo, can you believe this?
Hey, babe.
We're dead. We're dead.
Did I miss something, guys?
Sweetheart, it's the red hair. It's bad luck.
It's not like she's a real redhead, Jake. Look, it doesn't matter, all right? You can't fool bad luck. You can't get by on a technicality. You can't trick karma. You just fucked us.
Hmm. So much for that good feeling, huh?
Throwing her scarf in his face, she stalks out.
Well, that's what I get for putting a chick on the team, right? Go on. Burn that. Lopez, think fast. Nellie, hold on a second, will you? Come on.
Soon after, the mark, Ashby, is sitting alone at a bar when...
Is a seat taken?
No. Well, please.
Thanks. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry I'm late, but I'm not that late. You didn't have to give away my seat.
I didn't know you were coming.
I didn't know. Oh, sorry. No problem.
As the other woman moves off, Lily takes the seat next to Ashby.
Thanks for playing along. I just had to sit down for a while.
Tough day?
Brutal day. What are you drinking?
Oh, Maker's Mark on the rocks.
His rocks. Mine's straight up.
You got it. My name's Leon. Leon Ashby.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm overbearing and rude. Lily. Lily Finn.
So what do you do?
It's more like, what don't I do? It's a long story.
Well, we're getting drinks. What happened?
My partners and I are trying to secure startup capital for a small tech company. Well, we tried the venture capitalist route, but since the bubble burst on .com,
so we're a few years off the mark. A lot of bubbles were burst.
Yeah. Optimists that we are, we thought we'd try luck with a straight corporate loan.
Your drinks arrive.
There you go.
Thank you.
Oh, no, no, I can get
this. On me. For the seat. Chin chin.
Wondering at his good fortune, Ashby clinks his glass to hers.
So, we've been meeting with banks all day. It's amazing how many ways they can say no without ever actually saying the word.
Well, typically a corporate loan is a fairly simple matter, but you do have to demonstrate a capacity for gross fund recovery.
Let me guess. Your bubble didn't burst.
No, nothing like that. I work in a bank.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I wish we met 8 hours ago.
Jake arrives with the others.
Oh, my partners are here. We have dinner plans.
Oh. Well, thank you for the drink.
Oh, you're welcome. I was just going to ask if you'd like to join us.
Sure.
Okay. So she got one leg out from under him. Now we had to lean.
Later at their table.
Oh, so then Miles, God bless him, he walks right into the fucking creative director's office, straight in there, and he says, I'm sorry, this program is for shit. No, and then he throws like 1,000 pages of code all over the fucking guy's office.
Ashby laughs along with them.
All right, so he kicks Miles and I out of the office. He's screaming and yelling, you're fired, your whole fucking team is fired. Yeah. Now he's looking for Lily, he's looking for Lupus, and of course he cannot find Gordo.
And that's the best part, he cannot find Gordo, okay? So what happens? He finally finds
Gordo. No, we don't have to tell this part.
He's in the bathroom, okay?
Oh, no,
so he kicks down the stall room door and starts screaming at the top of his lungs, and there's Gordo, okay? His pants around the ankles, PC World magazine in hand, and he's punching the clown.
And it was a fucking traumatizing event because I haven't been able to use a public restroom since that day.
Me neither.
Gordo's got some issues.
Thank you.
He's got some issues. And let's not forget, the great thing that did come from that day was we said enough. Yeah. That's the day we started our own business and said goodbye to shithead bosses, so.
And I really admire you guys, taking a chance like that.
Leon here works at a bank. What bank did you say it was?
Oh, Price Trust.
No shit.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, talk about shithead bosses. Now that's gotta be a trip. But what's he like to work for?
Oh, you know, he's okay.
Really?
Oh, come on!
Well, he's a... He's just a fucking shithead.
Jake notices Lily flirting with Ashby.
So what do you do over there at Price?
I'm the VP in charge of corporate loans.
Wow. Well, we haven't met anyone of your level before. VP.
All right, so that means it's you and then the P.
Give that man a Nobel Prize.
Well done.
Genius.
Yes, that's right.
Here's where a little research comes in handy. Corporate banks give out VP titles like calendars. It's a small lie, but now we're sure he's playing. Well, then maybe you can help explain to us what's so difficult about getting a corporate loan.
Well, normally nothing. But tech firm right now, people are really scared.
Well, people are scared because they lack vision. The present company excluded, of course.
Well, you know, a bank does need to know where its money's going to come from.
That is true.
Well, we know where we're getting our money back from. Yeah, but therein lies our catch-22.
I don't follow.
Well, Jake, come on.
No, it's all right. Leon here is one of the good guys. Right?
What I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you in complete confidence, all right? Does not leave this fucking table.
Sure.
Fine. So you know how the dot-comers did what they did, right?
In what way?
Well, in the way and how they made their money. Essentially, they start with an idea, shop it around town, raise a little capital, and then sold it to a bigger company, like a Microsoft or an Oracle or an Intel, you know, whatever.
Is that right?
But the beauty of it was... They sold it before the thing was even real.
Lily eats a strawberry.
So now they've got the bigger company already set up to buy the thing.
Ashby watches her.
They just want to see that it works. So these guys go out, get some startup capital, make it work, and then sell it 5 or 6 times the initial loan.
Delicious.
But you need a letter of intent.
Exactly. And that's our catch-22. We can't really go out and talk about it, because if it's public, potentially we start a bidding war, and that's considered a breach of etiquette. Kills the deal. However, we wait too long and we're not considered hot anymore.
And you have this letter of intent?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. I mean, all we're doing is applying the dot-com model to a different product.
Yeah. But the dot-coms failed.
Yeah, but that's only
no,
because...
No, with all due respect, that's going to be a really tough sell. I mean, you guys have a real battle on your hands.
That's bullshit.
Lupus.
Look, sorry, Mr. Ashby. I didn't mean anything. But I just don't think you can argue with the success of the business model. It was really an overextension of the model to what turned out to be a limited consumer demand that caused the dot-com collapse. Now, applied to a proper product with a solid consumer base, the model still holds up.
You may be right.
Let me be straight with you, all right? We're this close to cutting somebody in on the action, if they'd be willing to help. We just need to find somebody with some balls.
Shall we order another round?
Yeah.
Yes.
Later.
Lupus, nice saving there. I'm very impressed.
Poor bastard, never knew what hit him. Jesus Christ, I almost felt sorry for
him. I gotta go work out some of this adrenaline. Hey, I have an in at a card game with some of these Hollywood studio dipshits out in Brentwood. Anybody want a piece?
I'm going home.
I'll go. Jake?
No, I'm good.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, Lupus, you should come. Oh, you're gonna love these guys. Bunch of fucking knobs.
Hey, Lupus. This is all over. You'll let us know who the king put on Big Al, right?
You wanna have time?
I'll find the time.
The two stare at each other. Then Lupus goes off with Miles and Gordo. And Jake catches up with Lily.
You want to go, don't you?
A couple $100, not interested.
You do it for free. For almost drooling. You like the rush.
It's not about the rush. It's just for me, it's a job. You know, it's what I do.
Why, your mother not rescued you or something?
Are you asking me if I got something to prove?
Do you?
Not in that repressed anger sort of way, if that's what you mean.
I get the feeling you could have bullshitted your way into anything. Why this?
I'm good at it, you know? Lying, cheating, manipulating, it all came very naturally to me.
No, it's more than that.
The thrill of it? I mean, didn't you find it exciting tonight? Where you were working that guy Ashby? Flirting, giving him your sweet little smile, brushing up against him, occasionally touching him.
He caresses her cheek.
I have a feeling you were getting off on that tonight.
All I did was smile and shake my ass.
Yeah, but you did it very well. Soon enough, you'll have more to do, and I have a feeling you'll be good at that, too.
How do you know?
Intuition.
Soon after, half-undressed silhouettes, they kiss. She tugs down the zipper of his pants, and he tugs down her skirt. They move slowly backward, kissing as they go. Then he lifts her in his arms and lays her on the bed in the alley.
So she had to tempt in fate.
You know, my old man and his buddies from work used to play the same lotto numbers every week. I mean, the same numbers for 16 years. One day he gets pissed, decides he's out, he's gonna play his own number. They then hit the lucky 7 for $3.5 million without him. That's fate for you.
Lily looks down at him.
Guess he passed on that unlucky asshole, Gene.
It's an arena.
You should have trusted me, Jake.
Yeah, apparently so.
Earlier in Ashby's office.
Everything looks in order.
Now, you know, Leon, we're gonna have to move quickly here.
I know. It won't go unnoticed.
Jake nods at Lily, who perches on the edge of the desk and hands Ashby a thick envelope.
What's this?
Let's call that a convincer.
Ashby peeks at the cash inside.
We're gonna need to slow down a bit.
If you're worried about recouping the loan, got the letter of intent.
No, it's... I understand that. What I'm trying to... What I mean to say is... what I'm wondering about is... is my cut.
And there it is. Ashby gets the itch. 2%.
5 million.
We're gonna make it back, Lena, 3 or 4 times over.
By the time anyone catches on, the loan's already been repaid.
You didn't do anything wrong except speed things up.
And all you need to do for your cut is put some paperwork through, push a button tomorrow.
Ashby considers.
Yeah, but there were other factors.
In the alley.
Yeah, factors that weren't clear to me until now.
Earlier, on the street, Whitworth and Manzano report to Butan.
What do you got?
We got jack shit.
Look, I'm not a confrontational man by nature, but you guys are gonna have to start working with me on this thing.
We haven't even heard from Vig, man. We don't even know if he wants to cut us in on this shit he's got going down with the king.
Maybe you two guys need to be a little bit more proactive, Lloyd. And you gotta make him think that you're gonna keep me off of his back. And for that, he's gonna cut you in on whatever he's got going with King. You got that? Omar, you got it?
As the crew leaves Ashby's office,
almost home.
They pass by the corner office of Morgan Price. Jake notices the black man beside Price, who glances at Lily. Outside on the street.
Huh? Looks like it's you home to pack.
Jake, I can picture me with the drink with the umbrella in it.
Jake is suddenly grabbed by Manzano and slugged in the gut. Whitworth holds the others at gunpoint.
Jesus!
What, the tip not work out for you guys?
Oh, tip worked out just fine, Jake. We're just a little curious, though, about the feds.
Hey, look, you don't pay your fucking taxes.
Manzano slugs him again.
Get the fuck back! Back up!
Special Agent Gunther Butan. Ever heard about?
Gunther? No, I think I would remember Gunther, quite honestly.
Let me jog your memory.
And again.
Jesus!
Fuck! Gunther Butan, you said?
Yeah,
Actually, yeah, I think I might know this guy.
Yeah, well, he's in town, and he sure as shit remembers you. What are we gonna do about this, Jake? You can't afford having the Fed on to us like this, huh?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't dream of that.
Manzano slugs him again.
Fuck, man! Well, the way we look at it, Jake, you have a limited window of opportunity here before he catches up to you. But I got good news for you, okay? You got us for your wife and I.
That's right.
We're gonna keep him off your back.
I'm gonna get a piece of whatever you got going down with the king. And don't fucking argue with me, man, because I got a lot of pent-up aggression.
Say something stupid, we got a deal, Jake. Come on.
Something stupid.
Manzano menaces him. And so does Whitworth.
Don't leave town, brother.
The two cops leave.
Money. Have a nice day, officers.
Butan is waiting for them.
How did we do?
We did exactly like you said.
I have complete faith in you, Lloyd.
Why is this guy so hard up for you? You're not exactly a threat to national security.
At the Euclid.
We go way back. A few years ago, we were working in Tampa for a local goon. Turns out this mutt was being watched by the feds. Which now meant we were being watched by the feds. One in particular. Agent Gunther Butan. We were just overseeing some creative importing, so he really didn't have anything on us. But I figured, maybe this guy's good for a fix. Our guys in the LAPD, give them $20, they'll look the other way on a parking ticket.
Maybe you get yourself a new time with that.
But a Fed? You get a guy like that as your fix? It was probably a stupid idea. There I was, Armani and Rolex. There he is, JCPenney and Timex. So I took a shot. But now he had me on attempted bribery of a federal agent.
So that's how Gunther Butan and I became friends.
Butan.
Here.
Shit.
So what? We just stay clear of him.
I don't think so. I think we gotta walk.
Wait a minute, we can handle this. Come on.
No, not this time. I say we walk.
Let's take it easy for a second.
All right, look, I'm not going to take it easy, all right? Because you don't know this guy. He's going to be all over us like white on rice, all right? There's no shaking him, and you know it.
So we change the scam a little.
Look, there is no more fucking scam. I got a sign on my back now. I can't leave town and then show up with a suitcase full of money. It's over. The gig is up.
Jake,
the skirt's got a point. All you have to do is tweak it a little bit.
It's over. That's it. You gotta know when to walk away. And you guys are too careless with the money. I mean, Gordo, you with the fucking cars, you with the strippers.
Well, actually, they call themselves dancers.
They call themselves dancers, huh? What about Big Al? Did that not fucking register with you? You remember seeing him sitting there with a bullet hole in his head? That doesn't mean anything.
You're being such a raving pussy. I mean, pull yourself together, for Christ's sake.
Who the fuck do you think you're talking to? Sweetheart, we fucked once, okay? that does not entitle you a voice in this room. And don't think I didn't know you weren't working some angle that night either.
Easy, Jake. That's a lady.
Everyone's working an angle, right?
There are three people I trust in this world. Those two guys on the couch and a dead guy. You, I don't know you. You're like a stray dog that wandered into my house one day looking for a belly rub. So why don't you just go back to wherever it is you came from? You don't have anybody looking for you. Not the king, not Butan, not Price. Okay, so just cut loose of this. It is over.
What about...
What about what?
Lily gets up.
What about the money?
There it is, huh? That little itch you need to scratch. Always about the money. Well, what do you want? You want an apology?
No. I want my cut.
Take a deep breath, count to 10, and try and get it through your thick skull. There is no cut.
Lily stalks out past Jake.
You're an asshole.
That's it, huh?
That's it. We're closing up shop.
You guys know what to do, right?
Jesus Christ, Jake. I can't believe you're just...
Miles.
In the alley.
So much for honor among thieves. You were gonna cut loose your friends, your girl, your...
What the fuck are you talking about? All right, I was doing it for them. I was trying to protect them.
Bullshit, you weren't doing it for them. You were fucking scared, Jake. Come on, just admit it. You lost your nerve and you lost your confidence. You weren't trying to be noble. You weren't trying to save anybody but your goddamn self. Admit it.
Look, pal, you got no idea what you're talking about, all right? It's not true.
It is fucking true. They were right there for you, Jake. She was right there for you. Look at her. Fuck, I said look at her.
He twists Jake's head to face Lily.
She trusted you, and you sold her out. Now I want you to look at her, and I want you to tell her. Be a fucking man, you be honest. You tell her. Tell her that you loved her, but the fucking money meant more to you.
He claps Jake to the ground.
Fucking grifters, man. Gentleman's wrecking my fucking ass. Just another low-life scammer looking out for number one. Get the fuck up! Get the fuck up! Get the fuck up!
Earlier at the Euclid...
King ain't gonna like this. You know, he had a real thing with getting this Price guy. If you ask me, I think he's jealous.
Of what? They're both crooks.
You know, they actually grew up in the same neighborhood. King talks about it all the time. How come he's always humping it out? Why, this Price guy, he gets to walk around in three-piece suits, hobnob with movie stars, own a bank, that type of shit. Next to Price, the king is still small time, and he's pissed off about it.
A point, Lupus. Give us a point, will you?
Look, I really don't give a shit if the king thinks he's a pimple on Price's ass. He wouldn't piss on my face if my teeth were on fire.
That's nice. Interesting imagery.
Lupus shows a burn mark on his arm.
The size of a cigar, right? You know why I got that? The king asked me for a four-shot one day. That's four shots of espressos. Turns out that we only have enough coffee for a three-shot. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, I'm doing him a favor. And before he even comes, picks it up, he's screaming at me like I just hit on his mother.
I assume this is going to lead to some kind of point.
Yeah. This is what I get for bringing him the wrong fucking cup of coffee. Imagine what he's going to do to you.
I have to admit, he did have a point. There was no way the king was going to let us slide.
In the alley.
Yeah, so we were back on.
After you cut her loose.
Which was apparently my mistake. How'd you know we'd still get through with it?
I know you, Jake. And I know how to take care of myself.
Earlier, Lily makes a phone call.
Morgan Price, please.
In his corner office, Price listens.
Yeah. I'd be interested in that.
He notes her number on call display.
Why don't you give me an address, and I'll send over a car.
And gives it to the black man, Travis.
You and I can discuss the particulars of your proposal.
No. I come to you, and I only deal with you.
She disconnects. In the alley.
It was a smart play. She handed me to you on a silver platter.
Silver platter? Motherfucker, let me tell you a story.
In Price's office.
It's an exciting story. Travis, anybody ever try something like this before?
Not that I can recall.
And how much did you say you wanted for this finder's fee?
10%.
I studied under a Nobel laureate of economics at Cambridge, and I think even she'd say 10 was high.
I don't give a fuck if you studied at Maurice's Academy of Wig Design. You're lucky I'm even here.
Travis whispers to him.
It's in his standard.
Okay, Travis, see if you can get him to tell you how he did it. Or almost did it. Sounds like a good story.
No, I'll get it.
Back in the alley.
Anna, come on, what happened today?
Today? Well, today started off great.
Earlier.
Ashby was going to call us with the exact time of the transfer. King was waiting on us. Just to be safe, Gordo was boarding the plane instead of me. I needed Manzano and Whitworth to keep Butan off our backs, and the only way I could do that was to stay in town and cut them in on the deal. So they waited for my call while Miles and I waited for Ashby.
He should be landing right about now, and the customs guy's ready, right?
Feeling lucky today, Miles. Real lucky. Found a penny. Heads up.
And we got rid of the redhead.
Yeah. We got rid of the redhead.
Jake. Customs.
They say a good chess player can see up to 20 moves deep. That means that in some games, you've calculated every possible move in your head. The game's over even before it's really started. Like a game of chess. Same with a con. You have to see that deep.
Yeah.
Ashby.
It's big.
Jake, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep, it's going through.
Right. Now.
Good. And with the push of a button, all the pieces were in play. Gordo, it's all good. Do it.
In Belize, Gordo picks up a black Nike duffel bag and makes his way across a square to the first bank, where he receives a check for $5 million.
First and goal.
He checks in by cell phone as he crosses the street to the second bank. Inside, he sits down at a desk.
Hi there. I'd like this cashed, please.
Ashby paces anxiously in his office.
Mr. Ashby, Mr. Thompson from International calling. He has a 34R on a corporate account in Belize.
That's probably just a new account marker.
He checks his monitor.
To ensure we weren't going to Welch, Ashby's cut was electronically transferred into his own offshore account.
The transfer is completed.
Tell you what, I am going to lunch. You tell him, I'll call him back later.
Meanwhile, in the bank in Belize...
We called them the Green Twinkies.
Gordo savors the aroma of the $5 million in fresh bills stacked in front of him in bundles. Leaving the bank with the money in the Nike bag, he checks in again.
You got Twinkies.
Gordo, that's outstanding. Good work. Lupus... We got the money.
Oh, I don't believe this.
Gordo's flying back with it now. All right, so we'll head on over to the bar, meet up with everybody there.
At the Euclid.
I sent Miles to the airport to wait for Gordo to land. Everything was going as planned. Gordo!
Jake listens on his cell phone.
Gordo, please, do me a favor. Just use the bathroom on the plane, all right? Gordo! Gordo! Guy's walking around with $5 million cash and he's gonna stop to use a public bathroom at the airport. Unfucking believable.
That guy's got a serious problem.
You telling me? And here's where I got stupid. Here's where I got that big fucking itch.
Jake looks across the pool table at Lupus.
What? I got something on me?
I'm gonna be straight with you, Lupus. I don't think we could have gotten this far without you. So I got a little proposition for you. A way for us to clear the whole $5 million. Now think about that. $5 million split four ways. You want in?
What do I have to do?
All right.
Jake makes a call.
Yeah, it's Vic. I'm gonna need an escort. Not a ride, just an escort. Ontario Airport. Look for Gordo. He's gonna be carrying a black Nike duffel bag. You guys take care of Butan?
Don't worry about Butan. We got him covered.
All right, good.
Manzano turns to Butan.
That was him. There's a shipment coming in this afternoon. Ontario Airport.
We're gonna give Mr. Jake Vig the surprise of a lifetime.
FBI agent Rosen speaking.
Artie. Butan. Yeah. Ontario Airport this afternoon. Come heavy.
All right, my friend.
At the Euclid.
All we need you to do is call the king. Tell him it's all good. Get the king off of our backs.
Lupus takes out his phone.
Yeah, boss. It's me, Lupus. You were right. He's trying to fuck you.
What?
Big's trying to fuck you. Police escorts are going to pick up the money.
I knew it. I should have listened to my instincts. Shit. Lupus, how do we get the money now?
You're going to have to take it in the airport.
The guy, he's got a black Nike duffel bag on wheels. He's got this thing with bathrooms.
If he makes it through customs, we'll be heading for the John.
That's good. We'll get him with his pants down. He'll take care of Scooter once we get the money.
Grinning at Jake, Lupus disconnects.
Maybe Gordo's got it right. Maybe we're all just looking for a safe place to shit.
Jake smiles.
That's cute. Very cute.
He puts down his pool cue and picks up the eight ball. Tossing it in his hand, he steps over to Lupus.
What about all that bullshit at the bar about your three-shot, four-shot espresso sob story, huh? Showing me your little boo-boo on your arm. What was all that fucking shit?
That? I got that a few years ago at a barbecue grilling hell of it.
He steps closer to Jake and looks him in the eye, then smirks and turns away. As Gordo's plane lands at the airport, Butan waits in the terminal while the two cops are in their sedan.
You trust this Butan guy?
I don't trust anybody.
I'm getting so sick and tired of listening to this fucking douchebag shit. I swear to fucking God, man, if my kid's teeth weren't so fucked up, I'd love to walk up to that dude and just take that gay hat of his and shove it right up his ass on principle.
You see how bad this guy wants Vic, man? It's like a sickness. I say we collar him ourselves, you know, that way we got Vic, we got leverage, and we trade. Vic for the tape.
Here's Butan.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, stay sharp.
A Cadillac SUV arrives. Miles is parked where he can see the two cops. The SUV stops in front of the terminal. King is in the back seat.
Be right back.
Is this it? Is it Harlan?
Harlan gets out from behind the wheel. At the Euclid.
So, Lupus, what do you do now, huh? You go back to fetching coffee for the king?
Don't worry about me. Stop trying to fuck with my head.
In the terminal, Gordo comes in past Butan and heads for customs. Butan speaks into his sleeve.
Okay, I got him.
As Gordo steps up, the customs officer glances at Butan, who gives him a slight nod. He returns it as Gordo lifts the Nike bag onto the counter. Behind Gordo, Butan gets to his feet and moves closer. When the customs officer passes the bag, Gordo lifts it down and strolls off with it.
He's heading toward the east exit. Do not under any
circumstances apprehend. I want to follow him all the way down to Big.
Roger that.
Yeah, we got that, Jerko. Let's go.
Whitworth and Manzano get out of their sedan. On his way out of the terminal, Gordo heads into the first men's room he passes.
Keep your pants on. He just went into the crapper.
As Butan waits nearby, Harlan slips into the men's room. Striding over to the only occupied stall, he kicks the door in. Gordo stares up at him in shock. At the Euclid.
Let's say Gordo doesn't make it through customs, huh? You're gonna be just as fucked as we are. You think about that?
Not for nothing, Jake. But the guy who whacked your buddy? It was me. The king usually farms out for that kind of stuff. But let me tell you, he was so pissed off at you that day that he couldn't wait for the regular guy. The fucker didn't even put down the kung pao chicken.
Jake stares at him.
Ooh, shit.
Come on, stand up.
What?
Stand the fuck up.
Hey, no, yeah, no offense, but I've seen you fight. You gotta be kidding.
Jake slugs him. As Harlan slips out of the men's room with the Nike bag, Butan checks in.
Okay, they pulled the switch.
black man, brown suit. Big.
The Euclid, Jake hammers Lupus into the bar. Outside the terminal, as Harlan heads for the SUV with the bag, Miles watches from his car. As Harlan reaches the SUV, Whitworth and Manzano close in with drawn guns.
Hey, asshole!
Lupus manages to wrench Jake off his back. As the two cops hold Harlan at gunpoint, FBI and customs vehicles suddenly close in on them from all sides. At the Euclid, Lupus pushes off the bar and charges Jake, driving him onto the pool table.
No fucking way!
Guns out, agents pour from their vehicles.
Put the weapon down!
Put the weapon down!
Get down! Get down!
Come on!
They disarm Whitworth and Manzano.
Look at that!
Come on, man!
Dragging Jake off the pool table, Lupus knees him and slams him into the bar. While the two cops are forced to lie down on the ground and Harlan is handcuffed, King is pulled from the SUV.
Put around.
And cuffed.
Can I make a suggestion? Take these cuffs home sometime and use them on your wife. You'll like it.
Now Lupus hammers Jake.
I like it tight, but not that tight. How about you?
Let's go.
Ow.
As another slug sends him reeling against the bar, Jake grabs a bottle and clobbers Lupus with it. King is being led away when he notices agents opening the Nike bag.
Look what we got here.
It contains two fat bags.
Carol and two keys.
King looks from the bags to the two cops getting handcuffed on the ground.
They were good.
Realizing how badly he's been conned, he forces a laugh.
He's good.
Gee-hoo.
You gotta like it.
Junior's good.
Officers Manzano and Whitworth. Agent Arnie Rosen.
He shows them their videotaped conversation.
How hard do you think it is to sell one drug dealer's drug to another drug dealer?
Fucking say anything, man!
Lupus levels a gun at Jake. When he nods, Jake answers his cell phone.
Yeah.
The king just got pinched with the bag.
Okay.
What happened?
He got caught.
What?
Fucking king just got us all pinched.
Oh, shit! What did I do? What did I fucking do?
Lupus falls to the floor, shot by Travis, who has just arrived with Lily. Jake looks down at the body. Back in the alley.
Yeah, you know, I never thanked you for that.
No problem.
Can we please all stop being so goddamn fucking polite and get to the point?
That's right, where's the fucking money, Jake?
I don't know, Lily. What do you get out of this? A fucking finder's fee? It's all about the money, isn't it?
Fuck you! You sold me out. You sold me out, Hugh. You should have trusted me like I trusted you. You fucked up. You fucked up, Hugh.
All right. Now you turn the fuck around. The only way you're gonna live is if you get me my fucking money. Now where the fuck is it?
I'm gonna ask you one more time before your brains hit the fucking ground. Where is my money?
Probably in the hands of the federal government.
You know, Jake, you really fucking disappoint me, Jake. Just let Lily down here again, too. Now, what was that you were saying about playing the big con? It's like putting on a big play and everybody knows their part. Guess some people forgot the fucking lines.
Yeah, I guess so.
You guess so. So I'll just take a deep breath, Jake. And I'm gonna count to 10. 1, 2, 3.
Lily reaches into her purse.
I do trust you, Lily.
Pulling out a gun, she shoots Jake in the heart.
Oh, shit! What's up?
Trust.
Earlier.
Did you kill him? It should be a four-letter word. I don't know.
In the alley, Lily drops the gun.
Don't do that shit while I'm standing right here! You get the fuck away from me. Get the fuck out of here! Now!
Leaving Jake sprawled in the alley, Travis and Lily flee in their cars.
So I'm dead. But can I really blame Lily? Should I just have trusted her? Who knows? Because sooner or later, someone's going to start asking the right questions.
At the airport, when Gordo puts the Nike bag on the customs counter, the customs officer switches it for an identical bag.
Manzano and Whitworth would ask how the drugs got into that duffel bag. The King and Price would ask where their money really went.
The customs officer passes Gordo's bag to Butan.
And everyone would ask, what agency was it that Special Agent Gunther Butan really worked for?
Butan shows his U.S. Customs ID. In the alley, where Jake lies sprawled, a car rolls to a stop beside him. Butan looks down at Jake from the driver's seat.
You need a ride?
Jake turns his head.
Hey.
Then gets to his feet.
How'd it go?
Smooth.
The guys we have in the LAPD? Sure. Give them $20 and they'll look the other way on a parking ticket.
Maybe you get yourself a new tie with that.
But a fed?
Earlier.
You get a guy like that as your fix.
Butan takes a payoff from Jake.
So what do you got going next?
They clink glasses.
So that's how Gunther Butan and I became friends.
In the alley.
Look at you, huh? You still working that crazy tie routine.
I'm partial to it.
You take your cut?
Yeah, I'm good.
Jake retrieves the bag of money from the back seat.
What are you off to next? Well, wherever it is, don't stay too long, you know?
Stay loose.
They brush their palms together.
Always.
I keep the girl.
Jake smiles as Butan drives off. Then, unbuttoning his bloody shirt, he recalls key moments.
Sooner or later, all the right questions would get answered. Because playing the big con...
What's this?
It's like putting on a play. A play where everyone knows their part except the mark.
Sometimes, Jake, style can get you killed.
In the alley, Jake pulls off a bulletproof vest.
And like in a game of chess, you've played every possible move in your head.
Yeah, boss. It's me, Lupus. You were right. He's trying to fuck you.
You're a good grifter, man. It's hard to tell when you're lying. It's hard.
Well, what do I care? I'm dead. Nobody's gonna be asking me.
Gordo drives up in his big convertible with Miles beside him and Lily in the back.
Miles, you'd be so kind.
Jake gives Miles the bag of money and gets in the back with Lily. They drive off.
Lights go out in a heavy saint. Tides that I tried to swim against put me down.
Jake grins as Lily gazes at him.
Oh, I beg and please sing him. Come out of things unsaid.
Gordo and Miles share a smile.
Pull off my head and a trouble.
In back, Jake and Lily share a kiss. This described version of Confidence was created by AudioVision Canada. The narrative description was written and produced by Marco Sorin and narrated by Valerie Hunter. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from AudioVision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast, in order of appearance, Jake Vig, Edward Burns. Lily, Rachel Weisz. Travis, Morris Chestnut. Lionel Dolby, Leland Orser. Big Al, Louis Lombardi. Gordo, Paul Giamatti. Miles, Brian Van Holt. Whitworth, Donald Logue. Manzano, Luis Guzman. Attractive Blonde, April O'Brien. Car Salesman, Jan Giannone. Harlan, Tommy Tiny Lister. Lupus, Frankie G. King, Dustin Hoffman. Katie, Melissa Lawner. Nicole, Nicole Lenz. Morgan Price, Robert Forster. Michelle Strigo, L. Alexander. Grant Ashby, John Carroll Winch. Sales Girl, Alicia Skye. Mr. Lewis, Robert Pine. Gunther Butan, Andy Garcia. Grant Ashby's secretary, Mary Porster. Special Agent Artie, LA Officer Number 1, Michael Dempsey. Hamilton Tan, Steve Tom. Jester, Abdulé Ngom. Lionsgate Films, in association with Cineranta, present an Ignite Entertainment and Cinewhite production, a James Foley film. Casting by Sheila Jaffe and Georgianne Walken. Co-producer, John Sachi. Costume design by Michelle Michel. Production design by William Arnold. Music by Christoph Beck. Edited by Stuart Levy. Director of photography, Juan Ruiz Anchia. Executive producers, Eric Kopeloff, Mark Melitz, Eberhard Kaiser, Scott Bernstein. Produced by Mark Butan, Michael Pasiornik, Michael Burns, Michael O'Hoven. Written by Doug Young. Unit production manager, Eric Kopeloff. First assistant director, Max D. Day. Second assistant director, Carla Rose Ponzio. Production supervisor, Rob Ortiz. Supervising sound editor, Christopher S. Odd. Post-production supervisor, Carl Pedregal. Music supervisor, Joel C. High. First assistant editor, Johnny Winograd. Post-production coordinator, Frank Moshier. Music coordinator, Stephanie Lynn Urchek. Assistant to music supervisor, Tiffany Ryan. Music editorial services, Lowdown Music, Inc. Supervising music editor, Fernand Bobbs. Assistant music editor, Tim Isle. Score, produced by Christoph Beck. Orchestrations, Andrew Kaiser. Music preparation, Robert Puff. Orchestral portion, performed by Seattle Music. Conducted by Christoph Beck. Orchestra conductor, David Sabe. Recorded and mixed by Casey Stone. Foley artists, David Lee Fine, Catherine Rose. Foley mixer, David Job. Foley recordist, Linda Liu. Songs, Sun Toucher, performed by Groove Armada. Written by Kendrick Davis, Kenny Gamble, Thomas Bell, Roland Chambers, Andy Cato, Thomas C. Findlay, Jonathan White, and Keeling Lee. Erotica, performed by Madonna. Written by Madonna, Shep Pettibone, and Anthony Shimkin. House of the Rising Sun, performed by Donald Byrd. Written by Alan Price. Respect, One Rascal Mix, performed by Aretha Franklin. Written by Otis Redding. What a Man, performed by Linda Lindell. Written by Dave Crawford. Clocks, performed by Coldplay. Written by Guy Berryman, John Buckland, Will Champion, and Chris Martin. Original soundtrack album available on Thrive Records. For Lionsgate Entertainment, Executive VP Physical Operations, Richard Jordan. Senior VP of Production, Donna Sloan. Manager of Production, Curtis A. Miller. Production Assistant, Daniel MacArthur. Executive VP Business Affairs, Wayne Levin. For Cinerenta, Production Controller, Robert Richter. Production Assistant, Elizabeth Ecker. A very special thanks to Julie Silverman-Yorn. Copyright 2002. Cinewhite International Film Productions Gesellschaft. MBH & Company 1. Beteiligungs KG. All rights reserved. Lionsgate Entertainment Corporation.